KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Eddie Hughes. With us in spirit today is my co-host, Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko. Thanks for joining us this morning. We're excited to have two very special guests in the studio with us today. Fresno State women's tennis coach Ryan Stotlin and standout student athlete Rana Sharif Ahmed. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having us, Eddie.
Ryan, just to give our listeners a little bit of background about yourself, you were a highly ranked player yourself once upon a time, played at the University of New Mexico. Tell us a little bit about your collegiate career as a student athlete.
I had a very successful collegiate career. I walked on to the University of New Mexico. I saw it as a challenge because they were the highest ranked team that was recruiting myself at the time. Played a lot of sports growing up in high school, so I didn't know what I wanted to do as far as sports, but I decided tennis was my new path, and I didn't grow up playing a lot of it. I'm from the state of Idaho. We didn't have a lot of competition. You know, I actually had a broken wrist and still made the state finals. And so, you know, there wasn't a lot of people that played. So my dad let me play two tournaments a year and didn't really play a lot of sports. So once I got to collegiate tennis, I was one of the worst players on the team. I worked my way up from being just on the travel squad to playing, you know, number one doubles to going up to play number one singles and becoming as highly ranked as number two in the country. Just all hard work. You know, that's why I really like the sport, is I kind of challenge myself, and that's what I like to do with my team, is I like to challenge them the same way I kind of learned myself.
How do you make that big of an improvement from, you know, being a walk-on and one of the lowest ranked players on the team to where you ended up at number two in the country?
Well, I think it just starts with the belief. You have to believe in yourself more than anybody else. I had a lot of people that doubted even me playing collegiate tennis at the time, Division I. So I think it's just more of a belief in yourself than anything. And then just knowing how hard you have to work. You have to outwork everybody in your path. So you have to know that, you know, these players have played a lot longer, but you have to put in the extra time and really basically outwork everyone.
And then where'd you go from there? How'd you get into coaching?
Well, I got actually 3 degrees in college, and I was going to be, one of them was accounting, and I got a job at Edward Jones right out of college, and I decided that, you know, I took 6 weeks before I was going to be hired, so my buddy talked me into going to play a pro tournament in Missouri. We went and played it, ended up winning it, and I decided, you know, maybe pro tennis would be kind of fun for a while instead of going in the accounting world. So I played pro tennis for a few years. My goal was top 500. I got to 499, wrote a quick retirement speech. Got to see the world a little bit. That was my ultimate goal. I didn't take it too seriously. I wanted to really show that I could play. So I got to 499 in the world, and then I decided, even on the tour, I was always helping people. Even the better players, I'd just sit there and I'd kind of be like, you guys should work on this, or we'd play doubles, and I'd tell them this shot would be great. I realized my path was really coaching. My dad was a collegiate coach, as well as he's been a tennis pro for a long time, so I've been growing up with it. But I really enjoy the coaching aspect more than I did enjoying the playing. So once I was done, I decided I really wanted to get a college coaching. I applied for a lot of jobs, and I decided to go the women's path because I had some success before I went on the collegiate career at New Mexico as well.
So then how'd you get to Fresno State?
Did 4 years at University of Arizona. We had a really successful team, a couple of years in the top 25, and then I was fortunate enough to Fresno State gave me the chance to come out here and, you know, coach a great team and a great group of girls.
Now, a little known secret about you. You mentioned you're from Idaho. You're from Boise, Idaho, right?
Yeah, I was born in Pocatello, but raised in Boise, Idaho.
So, I mean, knowing that's such a huge rivalry with Fresno State and Boise State, do you ever get any funny looks or funny comments when people find out where you're from?
Not really, because basically I have a big rivalry with Boise State as well. They didn't recruit me for anything, so I always make sure that we go out and beat them.
Boise State, they're known for that awful blue football field. Sorry for the opinion that snuck in there, but a lot of our listeners might be surprised to know Fresno State women's tennis also has blue tennis courts. Talk about those courts. I know you just got your facility refurbished, the Wathan Tennis Center. How badly was that needed for your team?
The courts were very, very badly needed. You know, we really wanted to thank President Castro a lot for his support in this, and Jim Bartko have been great. Some private donors have really stepped up and really helped us. And, you know, the courts have made all the difference in the world. I don't have to worry about the girls reaching out for a couple extra balls. Our practices aren't hindered. We get to work as hard as we can, and it's a fantastic new setup we have out there.
Rana, from a player's perspective, have you noticed a big difference playing on the new courts out there?
Yeah, our old courts were very slow, so whenever we went to tournaments and other schools, the courts were faster for us, so we needed more time to get used to them. But with the new courts, we can actually practice on courts like the ones we're going to play on. And we have more courts now, so it's better.
Ronner Sharif Ahmed, a senior on the Bulldogs team this year. Very successful team. You guys started out the year. Some big wins. I think UCLA was number 9 at the time. You beat Arkansas after that. How big was that for your confidence as a team to get off to a nice start like that?
Our team goals from last fall is to get in the top 25. And that win helped us being top 20 in the countries. We're internationals. We represented Fresno State as top 16 in the nation. So I don't think we lost the match after that for at least a month after nationals.
When did you know this team had a chance to be as good as it is?
Starting from last semester when we got the new recruits and we got a transfer from Idaho, Galina. She's a junior now. We knew from last semester that we're going to be great.
What do you think it is that makes your team great? Is there a special bond? Is there a cohesiveness? Is it just a lot of talent? What do you think it is?
We have talent, but most importantly, we work hard. And as Ryan always says, that hard work can beat talent. And yeah, when we get along, everyone gets along with everyone. We have four sisters on the team, so that always helps.
Ryan, those early wins were a good barometer of where you guys were early in the season. I know I talked to you over the summer. You told me at that point you had a chance to have a special team this year. When did you know that the team could be as good as it was? Was it back that summer? Did you have to see them play first?
No, I kind of knew the summer, as you mentioned, because I knew all the girls on our team just keep getting better, and we have four seniors, so every year I've seen these girls grow, so I knew that they would keep getting better, and they've all improved a lot this semester, and they've helped us reach that new plateau, but I knew the new freshmen in would push them just to get a little bit better, and I know Galina had beaten us a couple of times before we got her, and I knew she was a very good player, so I knew that we had the talent, and I knew that all the kids wanted to work hard and reach new goals, and I knew we had four seniors that would really step up when we needed them to.
When you say she had beaten you a couple times before, where did she transfer in from?
She was at the University of Idaho. She played us twice, and we didn't figure out how to beat her, so it was really nice to have her on the team.
Talk about the student-athletes you have on your team this year, and if you can kind of break down who your standouts are and who you really look to in the competitions.
I mean, I think everybody's really produced a lot this year, so there's not really one standout, as we always talk about. We're just a team, and all the awards we receive is based on our team's recognition, and we'll probably have some individuals make some NCAAs, and you know that's the top qualifying for the top 64 teams, top 32 in doubles, but basically everyone's worked really hard to produce that, because you can't get that without help from your teammates. So I think it's just a cohesiveness and a collusion of everybody coming together.
Right now you have the regular season finale coming up today against Nevada on the road, trying to close out the Mountain West Conference schedule with an undefeated record. How big would that be for your team?
I think it would give us a lot of confidence going forward into the tournament, just knowing, you know, how good we are. And the tournament's always a lot of pressure, but, you know, hopefully we can relax because our ranking's been pretty high all year, and everyone, they kind of know that the championship has to run through us. So that's what I keep telling our girls, is the championship runs through us, so we just need to go out and play our game, and we're capable of doing anything. They know they have to play very well to beat us, so the pressure's on them.
What's your goal going forward? Obviously, to win the Mountain West regular season, to win the tournament title. You're at number 37 in the country right now. How high do you want to see that number at the end of the year? Is that something you guys look at?
It's always nice to be recognized as one of the top teams, but I think more importantly, our goal is Tulsa. So we want to make the NCAAs, and then you go to a regional. We don't know where you... It's exactly the same draw as the tournament, except there's the old school 64, like March Madness. But you just get put in a section of 16 places in the country, and you just don't know where you're going to go. So we would like to come out of there in the top 16, go to Tulsa, Oklahoma for the championship. So our goal is to reach the same spot we did in the beginning of the year, reaching the indoor nationals, to reach the outdoor nationals.
And those are accomplishments that have happened at Fresno State. You guys have won conference championships. You've gotten to the regionals and advanced far, or individuals have advanced far. Is that part of your recruiting pitch when you're out recruiting student-athletes to come to Fresno State?
Basically, my recruiting pitch is just I'm going to try to help you on and off the court. I look for personality. Grades are very important to me, and also just the playing experience. You know, how good you want to be. And also selling it just as lifelong friends. I would like these girls to, you know, become friends and have each other's back, as we talk about, for teammates for years and years to come. So I try not to sell anything we're not going to have. We don't have everything in the world, but we have enough to make you very successful.
As our listeners know, I'm also the editor for Fresno State Magazine. We talked last summer, as I mentioned, for a story we were doing on the women's tennis team, not just for their success on the court, but in the classroom as well. Half the team last year had a 4.0 GPA. How does that happen?
just smart girls that work hard off the court as well. I mean, as Rana has quoted in that, I think she said it's not a fluke. We work very hard off the court as well. And the girls put their priorities first, which is great, academics and then athletics. And then, you know, everything else falls under that. So it's really hard for student athletes to understand that you're student first and athlete second. But our girls do a great job of doing both very, very well. You know, I think this year their goal is actually to have higher than a 3.73 GPA. And I think we got a 3.69 last semester. And I think this semester we're on course to even maybe even beat that.
It's a trend that continues. It's sort of interwoven into the culture of Fresno State women's tennis, it sounds like.
Yes, we want to be champions on and off the court. So, you know, our goal is to always have the highest, not only in the school, but also hopefully, you know, in the country to have the highest GPA. So, you know, we can win all these championships on the court, but off the court, we're also, I feel like we're winning a championship as well.
Another characteristic of your program, there's a lot of international flavor to the team. I think you have 8 international student athletes right now. Does that make it more of a challenge for everyone to come together and gel as a team, or is that just part of the fun?
Both. I mean, it's a challenge and it's fun because you get to learn about different cultures all the time. I learn a lot. I really like it because it's things that I've come to learn from different people and different ways of life. And basically, when you're bringing them together, you have to understand there's differences between everybody. And so when you're dealing with people all over the world and different continents and everything, even, it's just a different way of life. And when you come to America, obviously, it's very different as well. So I think it's a challenge, but it's really fun to learn about. And I know the girls are teaching each other languages and things like that, but also just the culture changes is really fun.
Coach, since you were a professional and you traveled around the world, having a diverse team like that, does that bring different styles, different types of tennis that they can all learn from each other? Is there different styles from different parts of the world?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of different ways to play tennis and also the different surfaces, which matter because a lot of people grew up on clay. Some of them have grass. We have some clay court background kids. We have some grass court. So a completely different game styles. So a couple of the girls, you know, we won't ask them to do something they're not capable of doing, but, you know, some of them will have serve and volley, some of them will stay back. We have to, as a coaches, we have to determine what they're capable of doing and kind of finding their limits and also trying to test that boundary and see how good we can get them. But they come in with different backgrounds and they can always watch each other and get better. And that's a lot of their learning process from the couple of years. As I've mentioned, the seniors have watched a lot more tennis than everybody else. And that experience has helped them pay off too, to learn what they do right and wrong, not just themselves, but the team and their opponents as well.
Do you have a favorite surface since you traveled around? I know Wimbledon's grass, Roland Garros is clay, you know, hard U.S. Open, Australian Open, they're hard court. What's your favorite surface that you like to play on?
For myself, I like grass. I never actually lost a grass court tournament, so I'll stick with grass for me. I like the fast pace of it.
Nice.
How about you, Rana? What's your favorite surface to play on?
I like clay courts. I grew up playing on clay courts. It's more fun. Can do a lot of stuff. The point is longer. You can dive for balls as much as you can. You can make it longer. You can do whatever you want.
And Rana, we mentioned the international flavor of the team. You yourself, you're from Cairo, Egypt. Talk about what brought you to Fresno State for college.
Actually, Ryan coached one of my friends back home at New Mexico when he was in his 5th year, 10 years ago. And he talked to her and she talked to me. I trusted her. She said he's a great coach. So I believed her and I came to Fresno State just for Ryan.
And you weren't disappointed, right?
No.
What was the toughest part of adjusting to life in the U.S. when you got here? Had you been to the U.S. before?
Yeah, I came for a visit just for a couple of weeks, not more than that. I think the toughest part was I missed my family, my freshmen here a lot, and just not being able to see them or like spend time with them, it was the hardest part.
Has your family had a chance to come out and see you play since?
Not here. I mean, I have my sister with me now on the team, so I have family with me. And all the team is my family now, so I have family.
And you mentioned your sister, she's younger than you, right?
She's 2 years younger than me.
Mayar, she's also on the team, also another one of the standouts. Mm-hmm. Is she your doubles partner as well?
Yeah, that's right. And we rank 24 in the country.
24th in the country. Talk about what it's like to play with your sister on the same college team as well as have the success you've had with her.
It's great because I know how she thinks. She knows how I think. I know what she expects from me and I know what I expect from her. So she knows how I play. So it's a lot easier. We communicate in a different language and on the courts. So it's great playing with her.
Is that an advantage to having a doubles partner you're not as familiar with? Do you see advantages to playing with your own sister that way?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in doubles sometimes we have to go by signs so the other opponents don't see what we're doing. Like when I play with her, I can shout and say whatever I want because I know they're not gonna understand. So that's a big advantage.
I mean, we mentioned some of the challenges of adjusting to the U.S. being without your family until your sister got here, I guess. But what was maybe the most rewarding part of studying overseas, being an international student, and coming to Fresno State?
I think having my teammate, I have friends for life now. Even my teammates who graduated, they're in different parts of the world, but we're still in contact. We're going to still be friends for life. So that's the biggest part of it.
I saw a Facebook post the other day, Friends with Ryan on Facebook, and it was from you when he was congratulating all the seniors in that last game. It was a video of what Ryan said about everybody, particularly you. And I saw a comment from you about what it meant to be a Bulldog and those courts would always be home to you. Just talk about what you were feeling at that time and how you feel about being a Bulldog.
I mean, I played on these courts in the last 4 years more than I played at home. More than I did anything in my life. So just being a Fresno State Bulldog means a lot to me. And being here for 4 years, seeing my teammates and coaches more than my own family means a lot. And no matter where I am in life, I'm just gonna sometimes go back and think of all the good moments, all the times I played on courts, all the hard matches, the fight, the team and everything.
You know, being someone who's lived in Fresno my whole life, who went to Fresno State myself, Bulldog born, Bulldog bred has been a long time tradition. And I saw you write that. And I thought that was really cool from someone who's from a different country to feel that same sort of spirit here on campus. How did you sort of fall in love with the school?
I think most of it is our athletic department. They always feel, even if we're not from the U.S., they make us feel that we're welcome here like anyone else. And like I know Ryan also like get this into us and how can we be like Bulldogs. And so that's it. No, we need to.
That's awesome.
You're doing great.
Yeah,
I'm going to give you a little bit of an emotional break. So,
yeah.
Getting back to, you're playing with your sister, and I'm going to date myself a little bit, but I grew up watching like Martina Hingis, Lindsay Davenport, Monica Seles, Steffi Graf. I grew up watching them. Playing with your sister, and I looked at your bio, you said you're a Federer fan, but on the women's side, do you look to like Venus and Serena because they're sisters and they play doubles as well? Is that like your inspiration when you play tennis? Or do you have other female tennis players that you look up to that you like more?
I don't really look at Serena and Venus or at the women's this time because it's not like the old days. My favorite tennis player was Kim Clijsters.
Okay.
And Justine Henin. And after they retired, I kind of stopped following the women's. I still watch matches, but I don't have a favorite player.
And Mary Pierce was one of them played back
Mary
in the
Pierce,
day as
yeah.
well. So I saw a lot of those matches.
But Capriati, Hingis.
Jennifer yeah. Capriati, yeah, she used to play. So I watched all of those. I just wanted to get your perspective, but now I know.
You
know.
Yeah.
I'm kind of wondering now, Kevin, our producer, when's the exhibition between you and Ronick?
it's just funny because I've always wanted to go to, do you have a Grand Slam that you would, and I'm not even going to let you answer that because you said that you like clay, so obviously you'd like to play at the French Open.
Yeah.
So that would be your dream. Mine was always to get to Wimbledon, so. No, but we could do a little exhibition if you want, you know, a little charity match or something like that.
We probably can't get Ryan involved in that, though. I think he's too good for all of us. Next up, Ryan, we've got the Mount West Championships in Fort Collins, Colorado this year. What's your outlook there for the team, and what's the goal coming out? Obviously, to win, you know, the third straight conference championship. But talk about what it's going to take from your team.
It's just going to take a lot of, our motto is head, heart, hustle. So it's just going to take a lot of that. It's going to take head, heart, and hustle and some toughness, and that's it. We have the talent to win. We know we've been through this conference before. We know there's a lot of pressure on everybody, not just us, but I think that's, you know, if we just stick to our motto, we're going to be good.
Rana, tell us what's in store for you after college. You'll be graduating here in the next couple semesters, but tell us what's your major and what are your future plans for a career?
My major is economics and I have a minor in political science. After I graduate, I want to try working more in politics. My dream was to be an ambassador for Egypt. I know it's tough and it's hard, but I'm going to try doing that first And if it doesn't happen, I'm going to have to come up with a plan B.
You got to be bold and reach high, right?
Yeah.
Anything else you guys would like to add?
You know, I just want to thank all our fans for who comes out and supports us. You know, women's tennis has a pretty good following, and the girls play much, much better at home. If you haven't seen our record, I believe we're 36-2 in the last 4 years that we've been here since Rana got here as well. And, you know, I'm just very proud of the team, especially the seniors that are graduating. When they first came here, like Rana, Sophie, Annie, and even Sophia came a year later, but they came in, there was not much here for them. There was, you know, the cracks on the court. The North Gym was our training room. It's changed a lot since then, and now, you know, it looks amazing. And, you know, those changes have really helped our program. But, you know, I'm very thankful for them to come out and do what they've done, even though we had very little. And as I mentioned, I just want, you know, a court and a coach is all you really needed. Now we have a lot more than that, but that's still the motto that I keep sending to my recruits nowadays. And, you know, I want to thank everybody for that. You know, the motto, the head, heart, hustle, was brought up 4 years ago, and I plan on keeping it here until my end of my reign.
And hopefully that'll be a long reign that you have. And we wish you both the best of luck at the Mountain West tournament and going forward to the NCAA regionals. We'll be watching from the Mountain West network. People can get online and check out the action. Best of luck to you, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us, Eddie. Appreciate it.
Great interview from Ryan Stotlin and Rana Sharif Ahmed. Kevin, we got a few more minutes till we have to wrap up, but I didn't realize you had such an underlying passion for tennis going back growing up.
It was cool hearing Rana's perspective, because I grew up and, like, I was naming the players in the interview and everything that I used to watch, and actually the women's draw at the time, I tuned in to watch women's tennis more than I tuned in to watch men's tennis, because Sampras was dominating everyone. And I didn't like how she said Federer was her favorite player, but she's entitled to her favorite players. But he's the one that took Sampras out of the lead of Grand Slam titles overall in the men's. But back to the women, there was like 9 different players in that era that any one of them could win a Grand Slam title. So it was just interesting to hear her say that Kim Clijsters was one of her favorites, because, and Justine Henin, because I grew up watching them. So yep, closet women's tennis fan, sorry, but
that's good stuff. A lot of competition back in the day. I remember watching those guys myself, you know, Monica Seles and Steffi Graf on the women's side, and then you had Sampras and Agassi on the men's side, like you said. And of course, because I have to tie everything back to Fresno State, that's my passion. Pete Sampras, a lot of people might not know that he used to be a neighbor of Trent Dilfer when Trent Dilfer was playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So pretty cool connection there. I remember seeing pictures of the two of them together. But
and I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I mean, how did you get interested in women's tennis in the first place?
I don't know. I was very competitive in that age, and I'd play any sport, and I'd want to beat everyone at it. So tennis was something that I started playing with a couple of my friends just recreationally, and then I started watching it more, and then I started trying to emulate players more, and then I realized that most of the competition at that time, or the greatest competition, was the women's side. So I kind of gravitated toward that, and had my heroes and, you know, people that I wanted to win. I don't know. I grab any sport, so.
Yeah, I, for one, am looking forward to the Mountain West tournament for Fresno State's women's tennis team. Really, that program, as much as any on campus, has really sort of carried the flag for winning championships in the Mountain West. This will be the third time. It's just their fourth year in the Mountain West. Last year, they won the regular season title, but didn't win the tournament title. This year, they're hoping to win the regular season and the tournament. It sounds like, Kevin, maybe you and I should get together and have a little watch party on the Mount West network.
Yeah. I'll do that. I mean, just to see how Rana does. I know the team has a lot of resiliency, because last match against San Jose State, they went down early in the doubles matches, and then they came back and won all their singles matches to win the match against San Jose State. So it's just cool that they have so much international, like you said, international flavor on the team, and then sister connection on the team. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do today and carry on into the Nationals and see where they end up.
Yeah, there's two sets of sisters. There's Rana, who we had in the studio today, and her sister, Mayar. There's also Sophie and Annika Watts, who are two other standouts on the team. I think they've all had Mountain West honors. They've all had academic All-Mountain West honors. Pretty cool to know that a team with that much success, too, is getting it done in the classroom. I mean, I'd never heard of a team with half its roster made up of 4.0 GPA 4.0s. Students. You know, as a student, that's a tough thing to do.
Yeah, I'm not at 4.0 status. I'm close. But I also don't play tennis all the time and have to go to practice and all those things. So that is quite an accomplishment to be able to hold such a high level of success in the classroom and also on a tennis court. So it's a pretty special time for Fresno State women's tennis, I'd say.
Special time for women's tennis. We wish them all the best going forward. We've also got baseball and softball conference races heating up right now. Baseball's on the road this week, and softball's at home against Colorado State. They're both coming off 3-game sweeps this past week. Softball right now, 12-0 in the conference at the halfway point, still unbeaten. Had a couple close calls recently, but came back at the end to finish strong. It's going to be an exciting time for Fresno State spring sports. I think a lot of teams in the conference race.
I'm excited for it. I can't wait to see how the semester ends and where we end up in all the sports.
And again, we've got men's basketball already won the Mountain West tournament, so should be an exciting end to the year for Fresno State athletics. Thanks again to our special guests, Ryan Stotlin and Rana Sharif Ahmed, and a special shout out to my co-host, Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko. Thank you for joining us this morning, and please come back next Saturday at 8:30 a.m. for another Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.